بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من يتبع غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: أنا خاتم النبيين لا نبي بعدي، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. We are now on lesson number 62 concerning wisdoms of actions. In lesson 61 we discussed why we should not stand and urinate, and why du'as when we make the various actions in Islam, and also that why there was punishment in the grave. In this lesson, lesson 62, we begin a new chapter discussing now about Salah, and we begin discussing the virtues of Salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability, just like how we completed the section on Tahara, that Allah grants us ability to complete the section on Salah, the various wisdoms concerning and pertaining to Salat. First of all, we know that Salat is a means of gaining forgiveness from sins. In Surah Hud, verse 114, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily, good deeds wipe out evil acts. This ayat, two ahadith are related to it, and two ahadith come under the commentary of this ayat. The first one concerns a man who kissed a strange woman. When he admitted this act to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the above verse, verily good deeds wipe out evil acts, was revealed. Does this verse apply only to myself? The Sahabi asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, it applies to everyone in my ummah. Meaning that this is a standard rule, a standard principle, a fundamental law, that good deeds definitely, surely wipe out evil acts. If a person does a wrong action, if a person is disobedient to Allah and he covers it up by good acts, then those good acts will remove the evil acts effect. If a person is disobedient to Allah, but immediately, inshallah, he does something good, then he will remove the evil effects and the evilness of the bad actions by the good deeds that he performs. So the good deeds is a cleansing agent for evil acts. Good actions is a purging agent for evil actions. good removes evil. And then the second hadith concerns a person who was intimate with a woman but did not engage in intercourse. He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be punished for the act. But Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam only recited the verse, "Verily good deeds wipe out evil acts." The person said, "Does this verse apply only to him?" Someone asked, "Not only to him," Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "has it applied to all people?" So again the rule that good wipes out evil. And here we can notice a sterling, outstanding character trait which differentiates Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in from us. Amongst the 100 numerous beautiful qualities of Sahaba, companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one outstanding quality that when they committed a sin, they immediately came forth for punishment. Nowhere in the history of the world you have such a group that when they committed a evil or sin, when they perpetrated a sin, they came towards Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "We have done this error, we have done this slip, we have done this mistake, we have blundered, we want punishment on us." And you can judge by our age that the person sins, first of all, openly, blatantly, and he will never admit that he sinned. Secondly, the person will sin openly and deny that he sinned. Forget sinning and going forward to seek repentance openly, but a person will sin and then justify his sin to make matters worse. A person will sin in private, public, and justify it. A person will sin not knowing he is sinning. A person will sin but come nowhere near Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in and then volunteer and say that, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I have sinned and now I want the punishment to be meted out upon me." So, outstanding quality of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, because just like Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam was chosen, it comes in the hadith, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they were also chosen by Allah ta'ala for the companionship of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The hadith, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I have reached the penalty," meaning I have committed a sin that requires I to be punished. Without asking any questions, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded to lead the salat. And the man followed as well. After the salah, he stood up and he repeated himself. This is the quality of Sahaba. That perhaps Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not hear me that I have come for punishment. Yeah, what we should have done is, we spoke to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not take heed, we'll run away. But Sahaba want to see finality on the issue. They don't want to carry this to the grave or to the akhirat. He said that he came and repeated himself, wanting punishment to be meted out. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Did you not perform salat with us?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the sahabi. When he confirmed that he had, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Then Allah has forgiven your sin." Allah has forgiven your sin. Why? Because salat is a good action. And the rule that we have just mentioned, that verily good deeds wipe out evil acts. hadith, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, "Tell me, if any of you had a stream running in front of his door and he bathed in it 5 times a day, will any dirt be left on his body?" "No dirt can be left," the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum replied. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, "Such is the example of 5 daily salat. Allah forgives all sins through them." This is also one of the outstanding qualities of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make difficult concepts and ideology and philosophy very simple to follow, comprehend and understand. In fact, a book should be written about this, that how Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made difficult concepts of qabr, akhirat, jannat, jahannam, weighing of deeds and amal, punishment, delight and joy, how Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam via examples made it very easy for us to understand. Here Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining that if a person has a stream and he bathes in it 5 times a day, then there'll be no external impurity on that person. That person's body will be clean, his clothing will be clean, and he'll have external purity. No dirt will be left on the body, no filth left on the body, no soil left left on the body. Nothing detrimental to physical unhygienicness will be left. The person will be spotless, clean, pure, wholesome. Salat is like that. And salat will make that person free from dirt, free from filth, free from muck. And let alone, salat has got a superiority. Salat would clean inside and outside, external and inside. Salat would clean the aqaid, the philosophy, the ideology. It clean the inside, the belief, and outside the amal. It will clean outside the body and it will clean inside the belief. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The 5 daily salats, one Jummah salat to another, one Ramzan to another, all remove sins committed in between, on conditions that no major sins are committed." The concluding words of this have one of two explanations. The first is that salat secures forgiveness for sins only if no major sins were committed. Even minor sins will not be forgiven if major sins are committed. The second explanation is that only minor sins are forgiven through salat. Forgiveness for major sins can be secured through repentance only. Now we can understand that two things are meant here, amongst others. Firstly, that from one salat to another salat, all the sins, minor in nature, will be forgiven, provided no major sin is committed. From one Jummah to another Jummah, that all sins will be forgiven, provided they are not major in action. However, that we should understand something, that this hadith pertains that no major sin must be committed, but only minor sins will be removed. So we should understand carefully that minor sins are only forgiven, not major sins. Salat is a combination of both purity and humility, and it is through Salat that these two qualities are attained. It is through Salat that a person is cleansed so that he may join the ranks of the Malaika. See, Malaika are pure. Malaika are obedient. Malaika are sinless. Malaika are innocent. And the person performing Salat, he has been pure, purified, cleansed, purged from minor sins. And it is not expectant of a Muslim that he commits major sins. A Muslim is one who does not commit major sins. Therefore, the hadith is pertaining to minor sins, not the cleansing and purging of major sins. I've explained in other lessons how major sins a person gets himself purified of. Salat, obviously, from one Salat to another, from one Jummah to another, from one Ramzan to another, minor sins are cleaned, purged, purified. It is the manner of the soul that when it is immersed in any quality, it stays clear of the antithesis of that quality. When the soul is involved and immersed, enveloped, and steeped in purity, it stays away from impurity. And the reverse is true. When the soul is involved with sin, disobedience, transgression, and rebellionism, and the soul is filthy and dirty and impure, then the soul, unfortunately, stays far from purity, meekness, humbleness, obedience, and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order. In fact, it veers so far from the antithesis that it appears that if there is nothing like thereof. For example, when the soul is imbued with justice and generosity, it stays far from oppression and miserliness. The same, however, applies in reverse. Therefore, when the soul is imbibed and imbued with purity and humility, it will hear nothing of impurity and pride. This is the rule of the soul. That as a result, when a mu'min performs his salat with regularity and he makes an effort to attain the true spirit of salat, he will certainly be diving into the ocean of mercy, where all sins are washed off. So these opposites which we are talking about, the soul will either adopt one of the opposites and will embark in one of those opposites. Either the soul is pure or impure. Either the soul is clean or dirty. Either the soul is full of justice or oppression. Either the soul is generous or miserless. Either soul is pure or impurity. Either the soul is full of humility or pride. And now when a person performs Salat with all its conditions and with sincerity and devotion, then, and makes an effort that he wants to perform the Salat with the true spirit of Salat, he will certainly be diving into the ocean of mercy. And in this ocean of mercy, all the sins will be washed off. And that person will be coming nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person will be coming closer to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that the salat is a cleaner of the soul. Salat is a purifier of the soul. Salat adds light to the soul. Salat guides the soul. Salat is the nur of the soul. Salat is the celestial light of the soul. Salat is the guiding light of the soul. Salat is the purification process of the soul. Salat is the soap and the washing powder and the cleansing agent of the soul. Salat is that activity which brings a person nearer to Allah. Salat is that activity that brings a person close to Allah. Salat is full of mercy. That is why a person engaged in Salat, that person will automatically become pious, righteous, upright, and that person will go closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, these are opposites in the soul. The soul can either be good or bad. The soul can either be pure or impure. The soul can either be just or oppressive in nature. The soul can either be generous or be miserless in nature. The soul can either be pure or impure. The soul can either be humble or full of pride. And Salat will help the soul. Salat will guide the soul. Salat will make the soul full of just generosity, hospitality, and remove that soul from oppression and miserliness. Salat will give the soul good qualities and remove the soul from pride, arrogance, stupidity, miserliness. And Salat will make that soul humble, meek, pious, righteous. Salat will bring that soul into the realm of mercy. And Salat is that which is going to guide that soul to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why there is so much of virtues in performing Salat, and there is so much of warning against not performing Salat. It comes right near Kufr, as we will discuss in this lesson just now, and relate a few hadiths concerning how important and how valuable Salat is, and how firm Islam is on the performance of Salat. Remember, Salat is going to bring the akhlaq-e hamida and remove akhlaq-e razila from a person. Salat is going to imbibe and imbue into the person, is going to inject into the person akhlaq-e hamida, that means good character traits, perfect personality traits. It's going to bring into that person excellent character traits, humility, piety, righteousness, meekness, hospitality, generosity, and to have a well-wishing attitude towards every soul on earth. But if you don't make Salat, then there's going to be suppression, oppression, miserliness, impurity, pride, arrogance, quarreling, fighting, and all evil character into that person, hatred, malice, enmity. All these things are going to be taking place. But when a person performs Salat, then inshallah, that person will be having a good character and it will have a good mental disposition. Forsaking Salat opposes Iman and is an act of Kufr. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala who reports that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salat lies between Kufr and Iman. What is the explanation of this hadith? Forsaking Salat opposes Iman and is an act of Kufr for the following two reasons. Yeah, remember, Salat lies between Kufr and Iman. Number one, Salat is the most important hallmark. That means it is a characteristic, It is a symbol of deen. And when this is absent from a mu'min, it is as if to say, he is not a Muslim at all. And number two, the word Islam refers to bowing the head before the commands of Allah. Something which is literally projected and found in Salat. Therefore, when there is no Salat in the first, when there is no Salat, the life of a person, there really is not an expression of Islam in his life. So two reasons why Salat lies between Kufr and Iman. One, Salat is the most important chief characteristics of Islam. Remember, Shah Wali Ullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has spoken many times and stated that Shiar of Islam, the symbols of Islam, the characteristics of Islam, the chief characteristics of Islam, there are four. That is Salat, Kaaba, Kitabullah, and Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And of the four, physically for us, because we perform five times daily Salat, Salat is the most important hallmark, most important symbol for us. And when a person got no Salat, then it is as if to say he is not a Muslim. That is why the Aimma are so strong in their rulings for that person who does not perform Salat and who discards Salat. That Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah says, arrest that person and jail him until he comes onto the platform of Salat. And if he does not come onto the platform of Salat, meaning that if he does not perform Salat thereafter, after imprisonment regularly, then you execute him and you give him kafan and dafan and you bury him in the side of the graveyard. Like how a person who commits suicide, you bury him in the side of the Muslim graveyard as a lesson and deterrent for those who discard Salat. Because when people will come to visit the graveyard, they will obviously naturally inquire that why this person is buried in the side of the grave. They'll be told that this person committed suicide, that's why he's in the side of the grave. Or this person was not regular in Salat, he was executed in jail, that's why he's in the side of the grave. Imam Hanbal Rahmatullah Alayh is even more firm. He says that if a person misses Zohr and the time of Asr sets in, then execute that person if he doesn't perform his Zohr. Give him a chance, tell him to perform your Zohr and make it Qaza quickly. If he doesn't, execute him. And then don't give him kafan, dafan. Don't give him a shroud, nothing. Just dig a hole. And don't touch his body even. With a pole, push his body inside and cover it up. That is their importance. Why? Because Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Salat lies between Kufr and Iman. And in another hadith, clearly it is stated, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that the Salat, just like the head is to the body, Salat is to the Iman of a person, Islam of a person. So we should be very cautious, and we should know that we have to perform Salat most regularly and diligently. So in this lesson 62, we have discussed about the importance of Salat, of performing it, because it is a means of forgiveness from sins, and forsaking Salat opposes Iman and is an act of Kufr. When we come back, we will discuss in lesson 63 the reason why Salat has been enjoined at intervals. Why we don't make five times Salat one time, but we make it Zohr at Zohr time, Asr at Asr time, Maghrib at Maghrib time, Isha at Isha time, Fajr at Fajr time. Why these intervals? Why these gaps? When we come back to lesson 63, we will discuss that. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.